This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Steve, that's the wrong slideshow. Well, I had nose surgery Tuesday. I don't know if I look any better or not, but I had blockages in my nose, my nasal cavity, so he drilled them all or cleaned them up. So I've been dealing with that all week. But every now and then we get to go on vacations, don't we? And it might be a short vacation, you know, locally. Maybe you're looking to go to Hawaii or maybe take a cruise to Alaska. Or maybe you've saved up a long time and you want to do a big vacation. Several people at work have told me plans that they have. And one lady, she's going to New York. Another guy that I work with is going to Denmark. What we plan for vacations, and we don't just say, you know what, today I'm going to go to New York and just take off and go without planning ahead of time as to what you're going to do, how much money you're going to need, you know, whether or not you'll be able to go to New York. Maybe you need to go to Seattle instead, but we plan ahead to take that vacation, and it's what we're going to talk about this morning. And our lesson this morning is dealing with the cost of being a disciple. You know, that's what we are. We are disciples of Christ. We are followers of Christ. But there's a cost that comes along with that discipleship. And we should know about those things. We've studied them. We've talked about them. And I just want to go over some things that Luke brings up on what that cost of being a disciple is. I looked at a website, and it gave me these five things that we need to consider on the cost of being a disciple of Christ. And there's more than this, but these were five that it picked out, so I went ahead and put those on here. In Mark 8, verses 34 through 38, putting Jesus first in all things. You know, that's something that we as a Christian need to consider when we're going to do something. We need to look at it through Christian eyes, don't we? Is this something that a Christian should do? Am I promoting Christ in my life, in the activities that I do, the things that I say, the friends that I have, you know, the places that I go? We need to always put Jesus first. Bearing fruit. This is something that we've talked about in our Wednesday night class. The guy brought up about how Jesus went to a fig tree. And it was not bearing any fruit, and Jesus cursed it, and it died. Okay? That was something, a commandment, that was put on everything at creation. The animals were to bear fruit. Humans are to bear fruit. And I don't think that means just producing more, you know, children. I think it is producing Christians, and goes along with the one on the bottom of making disciples of others in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We are supposed to spread Christianity. It's not something that we keep inside of us, okay? We need to bear fruit. We need to make other disciples. Another one that we need to look at is following Jesus' teachings. And that's what we do every Sunday. This is John 8, 31 through 32. You know, we need to read the Bible, study the Bible, and do what it is the Bible tells us to do. And that's what we're doing this morning. Is looking at what we need to do as a disciple of Jesus, and then loving one another, John 13, 34 through 35. And it might be hard at times, but we need to love each other. We need to consider each other. We need to be there for each other. But those are just a few things that we're not going to deal with this morning. Being a Christian and being a disciple of things that we need to consider when we become a Christian. Now, I want to consider what it was like to follow Jesus around during his time and listen to this new way of thinking that he is teaching. We have followed Jesus around and listened to several of his teachings. You have followed him here today, and you sit down on the ground as close as you can so that you can hear him. Maybe not to hear him because everyone stops talking, so maybe you came and sat close to him just so that you can be close to Jesus. You know, a lot of people did that during this time. They would get up close to him because they had some kind of illness. And they said, you know, maybe he's not going to heal me personally, but if I just touch the hem of his garment. You know, we've looked at the story of the woman who had the issue of blood and for years. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she touched him and she was healed. And Jesus turned around and said, your faith has healed you. You know, so maybe, you know, that's the reason we're following Jesus, because we want to touch his garment, but we want to hear what he has to say. Okay. So Jesus raises his hand and the crowd quiets down, and Jesus starts to speak. We're in Matthew 10, starting in verse 34. Jesus says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. What is Jesus saying? Wait a minute. What does he mean that he hasn't come to bring peace, but a sword? God is love. Jesus is love. What does he mean that he has come to set me against my father, or against my mother, or against my brother or my sister? This is different. This is new. Why is he telling me this? You've told me, Jesus, to love my enemies and to be good. Okay? In your Sermon on the Mount, you said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. But now you're telling me you did not come to bring peace, but a sword? What's going on? You calm down and listen to the rest of what Jesus has to say. In verse 36, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Those are going to be my enemies. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Wow. This is different, Jesus. You know, I was raised a Jew, and this is totally different teachings from what I've been taught. And that's what Jesus did, didn't it? Isn't it? He gave them different ways to live. Whoever loves any member of their family more than Jesus is not worthy of Jesus. We've talked about this, about how, and I'm going to call it the family religion, like Catholic, like my mother, okay? When she met my dad, she went to church with my dad and wanted to be baptized, and her family disowned her because she left the family religion. That is what Jesus is talking about here. That we can't love our family more than we love Jesus. We have got to be willing to turn our back on our family to do what is right in order to go to heaven. Okay? And that might be hard for some people, but that is what we are supposed to do. You continue to follow Jesus because he has just that charisma, that charm, the intrigue, being totally different than anything you have ever heard. You quiet down and clear your mind so that you can listen again to his lesson. In Luke 12, verse 51, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on. So this isn't something for just this time, just for these people that Jesus is talking to. This is for everybody from that point on. In one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, again, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against their daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Okay? So it's not going to be just the family, not just the father and son and children, but whenever those children get married, then there's still going to be that continual fight because you want to go and you want to be a Christian, but they don't, you know? And again, that was a hard thing back then with the Jewish family. I'm sure we've all seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof and what he was dealing with his children going against the Jewish belief, the Jewish laws, you know, and he just couldn't take it. And that's how families are. I've shared with you the story when I was doing the door knocking down in Niceville, Florida, and I had talked with these two guys, they were just guys in an apartment by themselves. And David was really, really listening to what I had to say. And his friend was just sitting there, didn't even care. And David agreed with what I was saying. David wanted to be baptized, but he stopped. And I could tell he had hit a brick wall. And I continued talking to him. He's like, David, why don't you want to do this? Why don't you want to go to the church and be baptized and, you know, and change? And he finally told me, he says, my dad is a Baptist preacher. And if I was to convert, if I was to, you know, be baptized and everything, he would disown me. And I can't do that. And I talked with him and talked with him, and he just would not do it. And so, as I've talked about, left the door open. You know, here's the church. You know, if you change your mind, you can go down here to, you know, the Niceville Church of Christ and talk with them. And he was constantly riding his bike. He didn't have a car. And I would see him during the rest of the week riding his bicycle. And I'd wave him down, Dave, David, David, come here. And I would, you know, plead with him. But there was just no way that he could do it. He just would not leave his religion and do that against his father, even though he knew what was right. That is what Jesus is talking about here. That if we want to follow Jesus, we might have to go against our family in order to do that. Again, the cost of discipleship. You continue to follow Jesus around the country to listen to what it is he has to say. And he has said things that you don't totally understand. Again, Jesus hushes the crowd and begins to speak. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wait a minute, Jesus. You tell me to love everybody, to love my enemies, and now you're telling me to hate my family, to hate my wife and my children? Hard decision. But we have to weigh the consequences. What is more important? Where do you want to spend your eternity? With God in heaven or in hell with your family? And I've had people tell me that they'd much rather go to hell with their friends than to go to heaven with strangers. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I've had them actually tell me that. But again, it is so hard for people to make that decision sometimes, that their family and their friends and what they do is more important. They are not willing to pay that price to be a disciple of God. And that's what he said. You must even give up your own life. You know, it's hard for me sometimes to understand, because I was born into Christianity and raised my whole life. You know, I was baptized, I think, when I was about 10. You know, so it's hard for me to understand somebody who was not in Christ and decided to become a Christian and had to change their life. You know, you have to give up that old non-Christian lifestyle. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Even his life. You've got to be willing to give up what you're doing. Going to the bars, you know, running around. And again, friends that do not help with your Christianity. You've got to be willing to delete that life to be a Christian. That's the cost of being a disciple of Christ. And he says that. If you can't give up that old life to be a Christian, then you cannot be my disciple. Jesus goes on to explain his teaching in greater detail. Verse 27, I have 25 up there. Verse 25 through 33 is the whole section. Verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus understands what a cross is. I'm sure he has seen people hanging on crosses. It is not a quick death. It is a slow, agonizing, painful death. And Jesus is saying here, you must be willing to bear your own cross, being that discipleship, being that you've got to give up that old life. You might have to give up your family and your friends, but you've got to be willing to bear that cross, or you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be a disciple of Christ. That's the cost of being his disciple. Verse 28, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Going back to our vacation, you know, the last thing you want is to go to Seattle or you know, go to New York or whatever and run out of money and you're stranded. I've been there. Our first anniversary, you know, wanted to do something special. And so we drove to New Orleans. We stayed in the Marriott downtown. The Hyatt. And luckily, we were having dinner in the Hyatt, and a man was there by himself and saw and noticed that it was our anniversary and all, and he paid for our dinner, you know. That was nice. But on the way home, I had a cheap Chevy car, a Vega. A guy at church called it the nearest thing to nothing that Chevy ever built, you know. And I ended up, you know, we needed gas, you know, to get home, but I was leaking oil and I needed oil or gas. I didn't have money for both. And so when we got on the interstate, I pulled up behind a semi truck and literally tailgated him for a couple hundred miles to save gas so I could buy a quart of oil to put in my engine to make it home. Okay? So I've been here. You know, I didn't consider the cost of what it was going to take to go out, you know, for our anniversary. And I'm sure maybe, you know, hopefully I'm not the only one that's done something stupid like that, you know, and didn't count the cost. But this is what Jesus is talking about here on counting the cost to be a disciple for him. Jesus continues his lesson in verse 31. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Okay? So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. We have to be willing to give up anything to be a disciple of Christ if it does not follow the guidelines, the scriptures, the commandments that have been handed down to us as a Christian that we have to follow. Does Jesus mean this literally, that we must get rid of everything we own and take a vow of poverty in order to be a Christian? Jesus is getting at the fact that there are two possible lords we can serve. There are two ways, and we've talked about this, either God or the devil. Who's going to be our master? Who are we going to follow? If we're going to follow God and go to heaven, we can't follow the devil, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday or whatever. We've got to follow God all the time. We can't do these things or have these friends or say these things or watch these things and still be a Christian. We've got to be willing to give up the things that are the devil. I want to drop back to Luke 9 and read another account of another story based on the same idea. In Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, "And he called the 12 together, the 12 apostles, and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. This is their first journey out into the world without Jesus by their side. Jesus has prepared the 12 apostles on that day. Now it is time to put their training into practice. The first thing Jesus told them on the banks of the Sea of Galilee so many days ago was that he was going to make them fishers of men. Now that time has come. The apostles are going to go out and fish for men. Jesus is not going to be with them for long. They must carry the torch and spread the good news that he has given them." Dropping down to verse 23. "And Jesus said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Okay? You can't just pick up your cross on Sunday morning. You've got to pick it up daily to live for Jesus and follow me. "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Matthew says loses his own soul. We must be willing to get rid of our earthly life, a life following the devil, and go for a Christian life that follows Jesus. Now drop down to verse 57. "The group of disciples with Jesus are traveling down a road when they meet at least three people." We read of a similar story of the rich man, the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22, when he asked the Jesus, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus told him to sell everything and give it to the poor. And the man walked away sorrowful because he had so many riches. He wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. Verse 57, "As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, Jesus said, "Follow me, but he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." He told the apostles at the beginning of this chapter that when they go out to preach, and to spread the gospel, to take nothing. Don't take a staff, don't take a backpack, don't take extra clothes, don't take any money. Just what you're wearing, that's it. And that's what he's sharing here with this man. You know, foxes have holes to live in, birds have nests, nature's taken care of. But for me, I have nowhere to lay my head. You know, my apostles have nothing. We're going to read here in a minute, he's going to send 72 out to spread the gospel. And he tells them the same thing. He tells them to carry nothing. Okay? Verse 61, yet another man said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my house. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. When you're standing behind that mule or ox or whatever, and you're pulling and you're plowing, you got to stay, watch where you're going. You don't look back. I mean, as soon as you look back, you're plowing over here. It's the same way when you're driving. You don't look over too long because you'll end up swerving that way. You know, Jesus said you can't look back. Again, another sacrifice, another thing that we as Christians need to do. God comes first. Not earthly problems, earthly troubles, anything, you know, to dealing with the devil. Nothing that's going to distract us from our goal, which is heaven. We have to be willing, again, to let things go. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're a rich rancher. You have a huge 1,000-acre farm. And you've got hundreds of animals, you've got, you know, all kinds of crops, you've got barns that you've got to take care of. You have people that takes care of this, you know, so you're responsible for them. And it's fine. A Christian can have a huge farm like that, as long as that farm isn't first in his life. As long as that farm doesn't keep him from going to church or helping others or helping around the church building or being active in the church, then he's gone from, you know, being a disciple to doing things of the earth. Okay? We can't do both. We can't have two masters. You can have wealth, but don't let that wealth pull you away from Jesus. And then lastly, in Luke 10, verses 1 through 2 and 3, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Remember John the Baptist, what he was called? He was called, you know, that he was paving the way for Jesus. He was getting things ready for Jesus' ministry. Well, that's what these 72, plus the apostles that are already gone out, they're paving the way for Jesus to go to these areas and preach. You see that they're going ahead of him and going in the way he was about to go. Verse 2, and Jesus said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. Does this apply to us today? Yes, it does. The harvest is out there all around us. There are people out there who don't know Christ. And it is up to us, the disciples of Jesus, to bear fruit, to bring others to Christ. We are those harvesters or those laborers that need to go out and harvest. We need to be teaching others. We need to be sharing Christ with others. It doesn't matter your age. You can still do it by the way you live, by the way you share. There is no age limit. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You can share Christ with others. And that's what we need to do as a disciple. That's one of those things we need to do, is go and share. And is it going to be easy? No. It's like throwing lambs to the wolves. Okay? It won't be easy. You won't be able to reach everybody. But that is our commandment as a disciple of Christ. The cost of discipleship, the normal Christian life begins with faith in Christ and should continue in an ever-growing commitment to the Lord. We have all decided to be a Christian. We've all been baptized into Christ. That's not the end of it. Our Christian responsibility starts at that day and continues on till our last breath. Are you willing to pay that cost to be a disciple of Christ? Are you willing to do what it is we are commanded to do, the examples that Christ has given us, to be a true disciple of God? I hope you have. If there's any way that we can help you this morning in that walk, let us know. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you to be the Christian and to walk that Christian walk that we are commanded to do. If there's any way we can help you this morning, please let us know as together we stand and sing.